So we're back again, except this time, school's over. So here's my thing. This is season 3, episode 37. Is it the first? Mm-hmm. Is it the first episode of Decoded Summer School?
Yeah, that's fine. That's so good. Okay. I put that on the drawing. I still did. I put it season 3, episode 37, but I did indicate summer school style. So
we're officially in summer school.
So yeah, let's be in summer school.
You know what's interesting is about this school year that I've never felt before. Usually on this day, I'm exhausted and I'm feeling... It's this strange feeling you get at the end of the school year because you spend the last month and the last week running around doing all kinds of stuff and then it just ends.
Yeah.
With this school year, COVID-19 pandemic, I don't have that. I'm already rested, if you will, because I've not been running around all month and all week the same way that I did when I was in the building. And it's thrown me for a loop. Like my wife and I were talking about this last night. Last night would have been like, it was really funny because my youngest said, "What's for dinner?" And I said, "Well, let's check the fridge." And his face like was confused. He's like, "Let's check the fridge." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "It's the last day of school. We should be ordering out." And I looked at him and I said, "The last day of school, we've been home for 3.5 months. Like every day has been just like this day." And he goes, "But it's the last day of school." And I said, "I'm sorry, I'm not accepting that, because in my little brain, I don't have the same feels as I would normally have in the traditional last day of school. The exhaustion, the relief, the feeling of like no more, like the stress that you feel in your work is gone." I said to him, if we have food in the fridge, I'm cooking it because I'm not exhausted. And we buy food and we make sure that we eat it before it goes bad." So he was not happy at all. Not happy at all. And I looked at my wife and I said, "Well, do you agree with him?" And she's like, "Well, it would be nice to order out." I'm like, "Okay, go nuts." It was one of those, okay, hey. It's one thing for the 10-year-old to want to order out. It's another thing for the co-owner, the co-parent to say, "No, we're not cooking." So I said, "No problem. Whatever you pick, I'm good with." And she goes, "Well, I don't want to do that." I said, "Well, I'm not doing it either." She's like, "Okay, we're cooking then." Like we were both like, "Well, I'm not going to order something and go get it. So if you want to order something and go get it, awesome. I'll partake."
And see, I thought you were going to talk about, I thought what you guys were playing with there is the decision exhaustion.
No.
Just no one was like, I just don't want to make another decision. You make the decision. I don't want to make the decision.
It was more of a laziness. It was like, "Well, I don't want to order food and go get it." And she's like, "Well, I don't want to do that either." It was the laziness of like physical laziness. Like I'm not going anywhere.
Gotcha.
So I said, "Okay, well," it was awesome too. The meal we made was excellent. It was grilled chicken, homemade French fries. Like it was, and he's looking at us with his nose turned up at us. So this has been a different school year shutdown.
Yeah.
Very different. I went into school on Wednesday to give my kids back their belongings and their report card. And it was so nice to see the kids. It was really nice. I set up a barrier at the door. So they come into the classroom, then there was a barrier between them and myself, and I would put their bag on the table, and I had a little treat for them too. I had some chips and a drink for everybody, so I put that there, and I'm like, "It was great knowing you. I had lots of fun this year. Thanks for all your hard work." And it was that closure, right? It was funny. The majority of them would walk in and they would literally look, they looked around the room like it was novel, like they were in a museum. Just like I felt when I came into the room for the first time since March 13th, they did the exact same thing. It was really cool to see. They walk in and they just look in awe. they're just looking like, whoa. I'm like, I know, it's kind of cool, eh? And we just have a quick little thing, quick little chat. They grab their stuff and go. And I'm really happy I did that. I'm really happy that I was able to go in and be there for, they all had a time to come in. And what made me a little bit sad were, I think 4 children didn't show up. And that's because 2 of them came on a different day because their siblings, that was their pickup day. So I guess they were like, well, we're not coming back. So somebody let them into my room. They grabbed their bag and their report cards were already in their bag and they left. So when I noticed a couple of bags missing and I was like, oh no. And I talked to a teacher in the hallway and she's like, yeah, they came. They were here the other day and we let them in because they weren't coming back. I'm like, I don't mind. It's just too bad that I won't get to see them. And then 2 other kids decided that they weren't going to come during the time that I had scheduled for them. They were going to come at another time. So I delivered those bags to the classrooms where they were going to show up. And I was a little bit sad, but then I wasn't. I'm like, they're living their life, right? Like, don't turn your life upside down for that. So it was interesting. It's over now. And I'm looking forward to kind of entering my brain into summer mode, because even though we've been home for 3.5 months, I've been working from home basically in my house the whole time, mostly. My brain never shifted out of work mode because I had stuff to do, right? Like we had staff meetings. I was posting work every day. I was assessing work, providing feedback, planning new stuff. So it's funny. I was at home, you know, wearing my rocking my sweater, wearing my shorts and hanging out. But I was, my head was still in work mode. And it's really funny. Last night, my wife and I were sitting in front of the TV and she says to me, she does this, like, she, this deep breath. And she's like, oh, it's over. And it's funny because every night I find myself sitting across from her in the same position, except this time on this night, we were able to have that final deep breath and say, ah, it's over. What's going on at your place with this end of school year stuff?
Yeah, it's so couple different sort of like conversations, and they're all kind of like, I think of them almost like tapestries. Like there's no real way to kind of pull the threads about when a certain conversation started or happened. But one of the conversations that we started with our kids right away, because my kids asked, well, what if we don't finish? So maybe these are like, here's the COVID complications that are not necessarily, they're not health related, but it's they're thought complications, or let's say life complications when it comes to school. We started a conversation almost right away based on my kids asking, well, if we're not finishing the school year, what if we don't finish? So they both asked that question. And we actually found ourselves in a space. There was a whole lot of discussion because there wasn't a, I think in the general sense, we believe that regardless of the amount of work that they got done during the distance learning, that they'd be each moving on to their next grade. So this was before, this is my general philosophy of elementary school, is that you still move on. You're less likely to be staying behind in the previous grade to sort of fix things. I haven't come across too many conversations. I don't know if I've ever come across the conversation where someone's kind of talking about, well, we didn't really finish up this kind of math stuff, but you know what? We're going to hold you accountable to it in September. And then you're going to have to do that math while you're doing, you know, your next grade math. That's sort of like a secondary system thinking, because that's really, that is what happens in secondary. If you're not successful in the credit before, you either have to fix it with credit recovery, or you have to redo the credit. You don't get to move on to your next grade of English or math or geography, whatever it is. So we started to talk about what would it look like if they had to redo their grades again. We just had an open discussion on that, and both of my kids kind of came to a peaceful place thinking, well, if we don't finish it, we're going to have to sort of redo parts of our grades, which was a really strange place to be, but I felt it was real. I felt like it was a real conversation based on the complications of not being at school. So that was something ongoing. So when my kids started to implement, you know, their schedules for getting work done, I could see that both of them were pretty satisfied with the work that they were doing, and they were happy to keep doing work, partially motivated by the fact that neither one of them wanted to repeat a grade, right? They didn't want to have to do some of this stuff again. They wanted to sort of do it now, and then with the hope in September that things would be back to in-school learning. That was the first. The second sort of kind of close-up conversation right now, and we've had a couple of family conversations around this, is that our aim for September was to have both of our kids out of daycare. So Madeline would be doing babysitting at this point. And one of the complications with the way that school could be scheduled for September, whether we were basing our thinking on the fact that Maddie would walk with our younger, so Maddie and Jake would walk together, they would stay for lunch, they would walk home, right? They'd have their key, they'd unlock the door, I'd be home soon after. So this is the next level of our family structure. What we're working through now is the possibility of, if the school is doing alternating days in order to keep their cohorts lower. So now, nothing much changes for Maddie, because she's still mobile and can kind of move on her own. She could still walk home on her days. She could walk to school on days where, she could walk her brother there. But what about the days where she's at school and he isn't? So then we've started to talk about, okay, well, does that mean we have to keep him in daycare? So now we're sort of backtracking back to original spot. Do we have to keep him in daycare? We don't know exactly what the plan for daycare would be in September, whether or not they would be doing something similar, as in keeping their code, like the logistics of us having to negotiate what the family dynamics will be in September is kind of where we're at right now. And the final conversation, and again, these are all very tapestried kind of conversations. It becomes almost problematic because you talk about it so much without getting to an outcome that sometimes you don't know which conversation you're actually talking about, right? Are we talking about the daycare? Are we talking about getting work done and repeating a grade? Or are we talking about this third thing, which was our constant state of where are we in time? You know, when Monday feels like Tuesday, feels like Wednesday, feels like Thursday, feels like Friday, and you move into Saturday, and the five previous days kind of feel loose and like a Saturday in some ways, because you're still at home, you can still kind of go outside and play for a little bit, talking specifically from my kids' experience, go outside and play a little bit, and have a snack when you want, go to the bathroom with you when you want, you can wander the halls, like everything that you can't do at school. My kids can wander the halls. They can stay at the water fountain a little bit longer. They can go outside and play in the playground or the yard whenever they want to. They can do whatever course they want for the most part in the order that they want to. They can take recess when they want. So you start to say, okay, this is no longer a school system. It's a home system that's doing school, which I think, this is not a new revelation. A lot of people have kind of identified this and the problems that go along with that. Here's where we landed as of Friday. And I think, you know, you had touched on this as well, is the whole big feel around transitioning to summer is no longer there. There isn't this sense of cleaning out your locker, doing the big hugs with your friends, hearing the bell go, the joy of running out and that triggering your summer thinking. And there's a loss there for people, right? There isn't the trigger of the next thing. Now, often it doesn't happen on Saturday and Sunday. It's usually Monday morning. You wake up and you're like, I'm on summer vacation. Like, that's when it really does set in. However, I have a sneaking suspicion that Monday's going to feel a little bit like the previous Friday in my house, right? So we've, in order to kind of, and this is like, you know, I asked my students this at school as well. I was like, how are you? One of the things I always said to my kids at school, I've always said this, I've said this for years. I tell them to protect the weekend. And I may have mentioned on here before, the whole concept of protecting the weekend is making sure that you're protecting a space that allows you to know the difference between work time and personal time. And I sort of worked on that through learning strategies with the kids, saying it's really important that we figure out the systems that allow you to kind of get your work done during the work day as best as possible to your best possible ability, so that you can then also, if you can schedule work, then you should be able to schedule fun time as well. And to give them that kind of agency and work through all the different, every kid at a different place, but work through all the different tools that lets a kid use their strategies to actually build agency for themselves. And so I'd asked the students this past, when we were on distance, you know, kind of doing I did a lot of Google Meets and phone calls to families and kids. I was constantly on the phone, just connecting with them, talking with them, checking in, checking on their marks and their courses. But I would also ask them, I said, are you still able to protect the weekend? Now, embedded with the protect the weekend is my favorite day. And we talked about this last week, which is Wednesday. So Wednesday being my favorite day is because it feels so much better to hit the crest of a Wednesday and flow downhill to the weekend, because you have everything in place. You got your meeting scheduled. You know how the rest of the week's going to play out, and you can actually see your destination. But it very much is, for me, the Wednesday brings you down to Friday, and then you can just kind of like flow through the weekend, right? That's my whole sort of mental philosophy. Kids are like, no, Friday's the best. I'm like, but then if Friday is an amazing day, you're peaking, you know, you're not peaking at the right time. And you're not, it's just, it doesn't work for me. That was my argument. But anyways, it was also a part of this deeper philosophy of protecting the weekend, that by the time you get to Wednesday, you can see what your destination is on the horizon, trying to keep that 5-day work week, trying to keep 2 days of some sort of personal relaxation. So a lot of the kids, when I was talking to them, they're saying they're having a real hard time differentiating. Like, for quite a few of the kids, they changed their schedule so drastically that they lost connection with the thing that made them feel like they were being productive. For better or for worse, it was the bells. It was the transition between classes. It was the lunchtime is at the same time every day. It's the knowing that you're going to sort of bump off like a pinball, certain people in the hallway, certain teachers in the hallway, your clubs, your grouping. So all the stuff that's part of the logistics of being in the building, when that was taken away, they didn't find a way to build up for themselves in their household. Lots of reasoning there. There's from just on one end, kids not wanting to, like, woohoo, we're already on summer break, to other kids that home life, it's just not possible. Like, it's too complicated. We don't have the same supports. I have to care for a younger sibling. So you had these sort of like two bookends as to why they weren't hanging on to their schedule. I think one of the end feelings, though, was the same, is that it was harder to know what was playtime and what was work time, because it just all just kind of got flattened. So that was the conversation with my own kids, as in, what is it that we talked about this during the school year, this past school year, when we were working from home. I said, it's really important for you to keep your schedule as best as possible, to still try and have lunch at the same time of the day, and to still clock out at the same time. And, one of the things that, like, my son loves video games. He loves video games. So one of the, and my daughter, she does too, to a degree. She likes, you know, videos and YouTube videos, all that kind of stuff. But one of the agreements was, you don't get any of that till 3 o'clock. You do not go there till 3 o'clock. And part of that was less of a stealing candy from them, as opposed to me knowing full well that if they were jumping in and out of that during the school day, they would slowly lose the appreciation of how cool that feels to kind of finish your day and then get to your fun stuff. And it was also a kind of thing of also knowing when the weekend is. So what we've always tried to do with the kids is get them to do their kind of like chore stuff kind of during the week so that their weekend can be entirely focused on stuff that is of interest to them. So that was kind of where we're at. Like I said, yesterday, the kids were in kind of mindset thinking like somehow we should get takeout. But I still have what I was calling bunker food left over. Like some of the stuff that we picked up, like the big mega jars of tomato sauce and pasta, like we still had down on the shelf down there because stuff kind of opened up. So I was able to go out grocery shopping. So we had pasta and salad last night, kind of a straight up dinner. And now we're in summer. So, and not really knowing how to make it feel like summer per se. Like I think there's something like an expectation, like we should transition to some sort of summer thinking. We always make up lists on the last day. I think we're going to do it today. We should have actually done it yesterday, of all the things that we want to try and do over the summer. We've started to make a list where all four of us kind of put in our 2 cents and we just start ticking off the list. Some of the things you have to schedule, but we start ticking off the list. So I think it'll be, I'm not sure what the fields are going to be like around that one, but today or tomorrow, the fact that we didn't do it on the Friday means that we're not in the same mindset, because normally that last Friday we would get takeout of some sort and we'd sit around and we'd pull out the scrap pieces of the paper and say, okay, what are we going to try and do this summer? What do we want to try and get done? And the fact that it didn't happen kind of saddens me a little bit, but also kind of acknowledges we're not in the same space. So that's what it looks like in my house.
There's a lot of similarities for sure. Mm-hmm. A lot of similarities. Well, it's different, and we'll see if it happens again next year. We don't know, right? But hopefully things are moving in the right direction with this pandemic. I believe that they are, but you just don't know. You don't know, I think, because certain things happen and then we may have setbacks and whatever. I'm just going to go with the flow and see what happens. Now, the start of school thing in September, I don't know what to make of that yet. I would really prefer not to start the school year without meeting my kids and having some face-to-face time, because that face-to-face time is where I can start to build the relationship and start to prepare them for learning at home. If we have to shift and go to the other extreme and have to do it like we just did it now, I would really like some time with them first, but that's not up to me. And I will be told what's happening when it's time for me to know. But I don't want to talk about September too much either. I want to enjoy the moment, as you were saying in the on-ramp when we were chatting. I want to live in the moment. I don't want to spend my time looking back and looking forward. I want to look at the here and now and enjoy what that has for me. So I might get to see you this week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some here and now stuff. So my family and I were traveling this week. Traveling's not the right word. We are leaving our house to go and spend time in a cottage, and it's close to your place, so hopefully you and I can connect. And it'd be cool, you know how I make those videos of when you come and we get together, we have meals. I try to capture that. I wonder what this will look like. Right, like do not come near me. You can't hug me.
No, I won't. We won't do the hugs this time.
You do the hug, and my wife will never let me hang out with you again.
I know.
She'd be like, doesn't he know about the pandemic?
Yeah. Go ahead, finish up.
I was just going to say the last time you came to Waterloo, we meet at my school. I come out the door and you just friggin' lay this huge hug on me. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of looking forward to that not happening.
I hear you. Yeah, no, it won't. We can, I'll respectfully respect your those wishes, but it's just, yeah, that ain't the reality anymore. The I think probably of some sort of a video is appropriate. I don't know how we want to figure that one out, but something it's kind of part of the, it's part of the package of the, for like the friendship and the food meets. So something that something that'll sort of commemorate it, I guess. So I'm down with that.
I'm even excited at the fact that it'll be cool for me to be in your neck of the woods for once.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really funny about this is that you and I had, we had a rough draft plan of me coming up to visit you
over
Easter weekend, but that got blown out of the water because basically Easter didn't happen the way it traditionally happens. And we were all locked in our houses, but I'm looking forward to coming up to your neck of the woods and kind of sitting down in your space and find, like, is it even like, is it going to be a challenge to find a place to eat? Is it not? I don't know. It depends, I guess, what we're looking for, what we want to do, but that, like, that whole thing's whacked out in my opinion.
Yeah. Things are opened up here too. I mean, it may take, you know, there's open spaces where we can go sit. There's tons of parks that are right down around. Like there's always a place where we can grab something, just kind of go sit in an open air. So that's, that's not a biggie. I guess at some point, if there's something that you're jonesing for, we should have that convo too. And then I check to see what is available and we kind of work from there.
Yeah, like I'm open. I'm more looking forward to just like hanging out.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. Part of the it's interesting because I haven't had a lot of intentional in real life hangouts. I mean, stuff has kind of happened where I've been out getting groceries and you sort of see something on the parking lot and you end up doing the lean and kind of chatting it out. But I haven't gone the route when you had mentioned, you know, before some of the people on your street, like kind of doing that general kind of driveway kind of hangout, but with some sort of schedule to it, like just knowing that there is a hangout kind of organized, like we haven't really done that. Karen yesterday went to there was sort of like a small sort of staff wrap up thing. So she went to that one. And that was kind of a big step for her because she was, I think in a lot of ways, it's like, I think I mentioned, I was the one that's been going out and doing the groceries and kind of doing the recon work. So her getting out and sort of being out and doing those things is it's something novel to her still, but she's down with it. So yeah, she had that. And I think tomorrow she's going to do sort of like a distance event sitting in a backyard with some friends. So I'm looking forward to being able to do something similar with you. You let me know what kind of food you're looking for, or I'll just say, hey, let's try this.
Yeah, like right at the moment I'm open, I'm just kind of, I got a couple of things like mentally lined up before I even get to hanging out with you that I need to deal with and think about. So that's kind of where my head's at right now.
Yeah. No, it's all good. So wasn't that long ago? We started talking 30 minutes ago. Did we say officially we're sort of doing summer school edition?
I think I kind of landed on, this episode's a summer school episode.
There we go.
But what more could we say? What is Decoded Summer School? I guess it's, what is Decoded Summer School? I think just that we keep working through the summer.
Yeah, we never really sort of came up with the stuff that we talk about tends to be so deeply connected to the everything that goes on in the week that part of it's not pre-planned, but getting to the summer school stuff, I don't know. Like, I like what you said, because I was actually going to ask you more stuff about school year. I had some some things to sort of drop on you, but maybe.
Are you going to still do that? You should. I don't care.
Why do I? Well,
I mean, in title, it's summer school because we're still, it's school, but it's during the summer and the school year's over. But I mean, I think it's just a tradition that you and I have started after our first season. We decided to continue doing this over the summer and we called it summer school. So I think it doesn't really have a thing. My new twist, before you ask me questions or take me back into the school year, I want to start playing around with some of the dumb stuff we've come up with over the past three seasons and start to milk that. And like Lucy Wednesday. So I created a little poster basically saying that Lucy Wednesday approves of the Decoded podcast. I want to start having some fun with that stuff. Right. My creative side has kicked into high gear. Like high gear. Like I can't. I find myself in different spaces and thoughts and then thinking, how can I twist this into something just cool and different?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyway, so Lucy Wednesday approves of the Decoded podcast. Her nickname is 76.
Nice.
Nobody has said anything to me about any of that stuff. I mean, Ramona listened to our podcast or watched it.
Yeah.
And, you know, made a comment about it. But other than her, it's just a jewel sitting in the dirt waiting to be found.
Yep.
So hit me with what you were thinking.
It was just more of maybe it's a wrap up, leap off kind of a question. Is there anything left of interest to you to talk about the school year? That wouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, is there, and again, this becomes, I'm not looking to sort of add hour two to today. I mean, whatever length it is, but that's why I was sort of, as I'm reading, looking at my socials and sort of feeling like there's some of the topics are a little bit of a merry-go-round. Like the ride's not stopping to sort of get onto the next ride. I started to just kind of reflect on if there's any conversations, like what conversations coming out of this year have merit to build a next layer on. I feel like there's zero I want to talk about ed tech, at less than zero. There's not a single thing that fascinates me about sort of talking about next steps for ed tech. I'm not interested in assessment. There's nothing in about A&E that I'm specifically interested in. So I'm kind of thinking, I'm looking for the point of view as like, what do I just want to park right now and then maybe not unpack until last week of August? So conversations about ed tech, nope. Conversations about assessment evaluation, nope. Any further discussion about the challenges from this school year, I think I'm kind of done with as well. And I mean that in a kind of a specific way. I mean, specifically the challenges of delivering pedagogy. Like that's kind of what I'm talking about. So the what summer school becomes, you know, I ask myself, what's left on that list? What is the stuff that I still do, I feel fired up about? This question actually came to me this morning because I was looking at my iPhone. So I'm looking at my phone and I'm packing up apps. So I've moved everything off of my home screen. I've moved all the stuff that I feel like is not going to feed me over the summer. So that's all off. I have it all in folders on the second page. So my first page is specifically stuff that I feel like I want to use over the summer. And as I'm thinking that, I'm like, okay, it's not that the stuff that I've put on the second page is not a value. It's just not the stuff that I want to focus on right now. And So then I started to think about the conversations. So what are the conversations that I just don't want to spend time in? And they could come to me. I may humbly bow out of them. I may, you know, give one or two, but I'm not going to actively, you know, one or two cents, but I'm not going to actively pursue them. I'm not going to pursue those conversations right now. I think one of the topics that will be of interest, and I'll probably bring it up once or twice, is what does it mean to build connection to the school I'm transferring to in September, and many of the tools that would be used to make connections there, I don't have access to, because if we don't start together in real life, then, you know, what sort of work, I gotta be honest, like, what sort of work should I be doing over the summer to connect with these people, to start building things so we're arriving in a way that's feels a little bit more hospitable. I'm also interested in continuing my learning about equitable practices. Like, that journey has been lit up, like it has for many. But I think those are two spaces when I connected to my job, which, you know, summer school, it never fully disappears. I think those are two spaces that are of interest to me to keep digging into and to keep gathering resources and to keep reflecting and learning with people. That I was going to drop on you.
Well, it's interesting to think that you're transferring and you're moving schools, because I suspect the transfer process, the experience would be a lot different if if schools weren't closed the way that they are. So that's interesting.
Well, even in the first part, I would have been, so yesterday, I would have, if we were in real life, if we were in school learning, I would have been at the new school in their staff meeting. So I would have gotten, before I left for the school year, a meet and greet and some FaceTime with the whole staff. Instead, you know, I'm linked in via GoToMeeting, and you're just sort of digital faces on the screen, sort of all paying attention to the final close up staff meeting. So that's different for sure.
When you were talking about, like, your different interests and what you're tired of or just not interested in, it's like this for me this summer, as it starts, is starting in a way that, like you, my focus on, like, my professional life is kind of like, I just really need to put it down and put it aside. Now, I am hopefully part of a writing team that starts in a couple of weeks that will only last about a week and a half. It's around STEAM and preparing STEAM resources for international students visiting here, but for next year, not this year. So that kind of that experience kind of fell into my lap, actually, probably a week or two before school shut down. There was talk about some work I might be able to participate in. And then we had the shutdown, and now we're here. And it turned into, well, nothing's going to happen this summer, so why don't we gather a few people and do some writing and prepare for next summer? And I was like, you know what? I like that gives me time, like, school's over, and I have time to spend with my family in a different way, in a different place. And then when I come back, I can work on that for a little bit. And so that's kind of like, when I think of my professional practice, that's, I'm diving deep there. But it's in an area that, like, I have a passion for. And I think I'll be hungry to do a little bit of that work at that time. But then once that's over, like you, I'm not feeling a lot of, like, I'm not feeling a lot of attraction to that, especially not knowing what's going to happen in September. But we've got, on the personal side, our men's book club is starting up again. And so we're going to be, there's going to be some good interaction there. And my reading, my learning is going to be coming from the anti-racist perspective, which is, as you and I were talking about in the on-ramp, is important to me. So I have a feeling that's going to take its toll on me. Like, I have a feeling that that's going to be some heavy work. And at the moment, my time and space is reserved for that work. I'm not feeling like, I'm not feeling the same itch this summer that I've had in other summers to dive into, like, my teaching craft. And it's just, I think it's because of the unknown. I think I don't know. Maybe once they tell us what's happening in September, something will shift in me, right? But I don't know. I don't know. And I feel like disconnected and disjointed based on what's just happened. I really hope that we don't start the school year with full remote learning, just because my brain is stuck in the traditional way of starting a school year, where the kids walk in, you see them, you get to know them. It's almost like, if you want to do the distance thing, just give me 2 weeks in September to go to school. Just give me 2 weeks. And with my 15 kids or 10 kids or however it happens to be, so that I can build a, hey, I'm Mr. C, who are you? And this is a computer, and this is how it works, and this is where I'm going to be parking stuff, and this is what it's going to look like. Like, it's all going to be like, get to know you, and get to know how this is going to work when you're not sitting in front of me. If I can have that, I think I can rest easy. But this whole situation has been, nobody's gotten anything that they've wanted. It's just been, this is the reality, make it work. And I don't know what's going to happen either. Like, with, I've got two kids. I don't know. My one son's going into high school. Yeah. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that looks like. And my other son's in junior, so I don't know. Like,
it's awesome. I remember one of our first conversations, and I don't know if it was, it was probably early stages Decoded, right? So 3 years ago, talking about just that, my lack of kind of like depth of experience in looking at elementary. And you saying something similar, you're like, yeah, like I don't really have a clue about how things operate at secondary. And I'm thinking how, you know, I don't know if we haven't ever really tutored each other in it, but we've shared enough stories that there's bits and pieces now that, like, you're shaping out your experiences helped me to understand a part of my kid's life at school that I would never have access to, like the life of an elementary school teacher. Does it give me deeper, what would be the next layer beyond that? I think it was probably helpful when I took my junior qual. That was really helpful because some of the stuff, like the details of, you know, being the things that the life that you've spoken to, was really distilled down based on the assignments that I had to do looking at planning for elementary panel. So that helped as well. Definitely the things that you can expect as a parent from your high school student child, that's your own learning curve, right? Like, that becomes the personal side, the parent side. But as far as the teacher educational side, I hope one or two of the glimpses and sort of like the things that I've mentioned have kind of given you some things to think about. Not that I'm suggesting you go back and review the game tape, like, oh yeah, we talked about secondary school specifically. But it just, you made me think about that, how like one of our first conversations, and I think an intention in this sort of long form reflective practice that you and I do I think one of the intentions was to kind of wrap our heads around the other's teaching context and what that panel really not only meant to, you know, us singularly, but what impact it could have both of us. My kids are still, my daughter is in going to grade 7, so she's still 2 years off. Who knows if my experience at secondary will actually be able to help her at all into transitioning into high school. I mean, because, you know, that's, I'm going to be wearing firmly my parent hat as that happens. I don't know if I'll even have access to my teacher side for that stuff. But that's exciting. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for your son.
Thanks. We just don't know what to expect. That's part of the high school experience too. It's just, it's an added layer.
Is he going to a Catholic high school or a public high school?
He's going to a Catholic high school.
Okay.
It's not too far away from home, actually, so he can walk to school.
Good.
I'm happy to drop him off on my way to work, but I don't know if he's interested in that. But it's not far, which is good. It's interesting, though. This is the cool thing. I guess I don't know if you can call it cool. I'm calling it cool right now. My son has braces. And because of the shutdown of everything, he has not been able to go to the orthodontist for a long time. So I don't know if I shared any of this with you, but as the shutdown happened, the pandemic was happening, he was having all kinds of issues with his braces. Like parts were breaking off and like, it was interesting. Like the one day, this piece that goes right on the back fell off. So he had two wires that were just exposed in the back of his mouth. And he's like, I've got just these two like razor sharp wires just sitting there. So we called the orthodontist and they basically told us, if it starts bugging him, this is what you need to do to go in there and cut them off. We were like, what? I'm like, here, let me give the phone to my wife. So I give the phone to Sarah and she's like writing notes. She's like, sterilize this by boiling it in water and then holding them down and clipping them out of his mouth. So anyway, we didn't have to clip anything out of his mouth. And the last time something broke, we called and we left a message and we said, listen, because their answering service is pretty funny. They're like, we're not open yet. If there's an emergency, let us know. We might be able to help you in an emergency, but don't tell us this, don't tell us this, don't tell us this. So I call and I'm like, hi, my name is Roland Chidiak. My son's name is such and such. I'm not calling to say da 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 da. I'm just telling you another piece fell out of his mouth. And I'm letting you know because you told me he was going to be on a wait list with priority. So I don't know if this bumps him up or if it doesn't bump it up, but you need to know this piece just fell out of his mouth. And it's like, I'm just being factual. I'm just like, you just need to know how many pieces are missing from his braces so that you can decide when he needs to come in or not. So they literally called me like an hour later and they said, we're opening on this day, but we're going to let you in early because we need to check out what's going on in there. So I take him first time in I don't know how long. He's in there for 10 minutes. He comes out. The orthodontist came up to talk to me, and he basically said, I had to remove this part and this part, and kind of gives my son the evil eye and says he's not been brushing as well as he can be, so I can't do anything until his brushing's better and his gums are in better shape. So I kind of look at my kid like, get to it. Long story short, they called me the other day to book him to come back in. So I'm like, oh, well, we're going to be away in July. And she's like, no, no, no. I'm booking end of August. And I'm like, oh. And I said, you know that he was labeled a priority, right? She's like, yeah, we know. But she goes, you'd be surprised how many priorities we now have that kids have come in. We've looked at their mouth and we're like, oh, geez, right? So she goes, well, how's this date? And I said, let me check my calendar. I don't know if that's going to work. And it was funny because I said to her, no, he's not. He's supposed to be at school these 2 days for a strong start, head start program. She's like, she basically was giving me attitude. She's like, schools won't be open. I said, no, you don't understand. He's going to high school and they have this program, and I registered him for this program in March. If they're running the program, he's going, because he's not going to go to your office for a 35-minute work on his mouth and miss this program that's going to build him up to start high school. So she goes, well, what if it doesn't run? I said, well, if it doesn't run, it doesn't run. What do you have available? So my kid has an appointment at the end of August for his braces, which are like, they don't work. Like, all the parts that are there to like do their job, they've all fallen out or broken off or whatever. So my kid's like RoboCop without the benefits in his mouth. And it was just funny because she's like, you said you wanted to get in here and I'm giving you time and you're not coming in. I'm like, he's not missing this program. Yeah. They said that they, as far as they know, they're going to run it. If things change and they don't run it, they don't run it. But I'm not going to book him in for you and have him miss that. It was just funny because she's like, I'm giving you a time and you're telling me he's going to be at school. And I'm like, that's right. Because what he's going to be doing at school is so important for his mental health.
Yeah, and
preparation is more important than his mouth. And you guys don't care as much as you say you do, because by the time he gets in there and gets things fixed, it will have been 6 months of broken braces. So if you're willing to wait 6 months, I'm okay to wait another week so that he can go to high school and do his thing. It was just funny because my wife's looking at me. She's like, who are you talking to? Like, because it was like I was talking to a buddy and I was telling him to take a hike. That's what I was doing. And she was kind of doing the same thing on the other end, saying like, well, I can get him in. This is as soon as I can get him. And I said, well, he's not coming on that day. He's going to be down the street at the high school, hopefully, learning about high school.
Yeah.
And then it's literally like it ends up he's going to be seeing the dentist like 5 days later. So it's like, well, okay, we got into that over like a 5-day delay. Then she goes, well, can I put you on the cancellation list? And I said, absolutely. Please put me on the cancellation list. If you can get in there earlier, I'm in. It's just on these 2 days in August, he is not going anywhere but that high school if they'll let him in.
That's awesome.
I'm excited for him. Like, I'm excited for my kid. He did better, like, in elementary school than I ever did. So I'm kind of excited. He doesn't see himself as a young, intelligent person, but I'm like, you got a head there, buddy. You can think, and it's somewhat exciting. And it's what's interesting for me is I'm a lot more involved in his school than my parents ever were in mine. Yeah. Like when I was going to high school, that I was on my own. My parents were like, this is where you get on the bus and go. With my kid, it's like I've taken him to his, they had a couple of days in the winter where it was like, come by, check it out, like open house night. So we went to them. We went to the open house, listening to the guidance counselors and stuff. Then we went to the open house where we got to walk around and check out. I think I told you this about the culinary class.
Yeah.
Where him and his friends parked themselves because there was food in the oven. Yeah. You know, like they were waiting to eat free food kind of thing, free pastry or whatever. So it was like, it was a cool experience. So I got to do that with him. He got to check out the place with his friends. So it's not completely foreign to him. But, you know, as soon as I found out about this program, they have two sessions. Each session is 2 days. And you basically, now this is what it looked like pre-COVID. You go in and you're assigned to a group and you basically like, you get a tour of the school and you get your locker and your timetable. And it's just, you're immersed in the building for two full school days before school starts with like the chaos that happens in a high school, so that when he does get there for the chaos, he knows where to go, he knows where his classes are, he knows where his locker is, like all that
chaos stuff. Chaos training is important.
Oh, huge. So it's, you know, he walks in, he sees a million people, but he knows where to go and how to get there. That's important. And he doesn't, it's like I love the idea of it, because his cognitive capacity won't be spent on that stuff. It'll be his thinking will be spent on the things that are important. Like, I need to get to English class because this is what's happening in English class. Not, oh geez, the bell rang and I'm in this area of the school, and I'm not really sure the fastest way to get to that area of the school. Because by the time you get to English class, you're spent because of the chaos and the, I don't want to use the word trauma, but like the intense anxiety and the brain processing to get you there. It's like he won't have to put his mind into a lot of that stuff, having spent 2 days walking around the building, figuring where his classes are.
Yeah, no, when I say chaos training, that's literally what, that's what we're talking about here. It's the what I used to call it. I used to call it, God, I've totally let go of it, but basically back to a food comment. It was, something chaos. Oh, I'm totally dropping it. It's totally gone. But it was the idea that the chaos is actually understandable. And the fact that, like, when work in the restaurant on a busy Friday night, the amount of that, I think what it comes down to is, with training, it doesn't change the chaos, because the chaos is the naturally occurring environment that you're in. But the sort of the coordination of it, or the ballet of it, becomes a little bit slightly understandable. You start to be able to pick out patterns. And the other part to it is that you are able to filter, and the filtering part is really important, so that the little cues that are happening in the chaos, you're more adept at paying attention to. And when you talk about load capacity and what your brain, like that working memory, is going to be paying attention to, absolutely, if you can get some familiarity to it, so that the perseveration doesn't happen on certain noises or a stairwell or wondering, like, what's my locker combination again? And having that all happen at the same time in working memory can be really stressful, really stressful. So I'm with you. Totally makes sense.
So, yeah, that's kind of the story there with the start of high school and his braces. Man, like, everything about it's weird, eh? Like, at the time he was 13, he's like, this fell out of my mouth. And I'm like, well, what's it for? Like, what does it do? And it's just, you know, the whole thing. When the second thing, like, I don't know how many things have fallen out, but the latest thing that fell out, I was like, okay, this is like, you know what he reminded me of? Mater from Cars. It's this beat up jalopy, and like, I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is your mouth we're talking about here. This, you know, but it's interesting how much is going on in there.
Maddie has braces too.
Does she? Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're familiar.
Oh dude. Even to the point where, like, she was supposed to go in for one of the major adjustments the first day of March break, or the following day of March break, like just the following Monday. It was something like that. She was supposed to go in for a major thing. And that all got benched. It totally got benched. And then, of course, you're sort of just in that space. I think I remember you mentioning, I don't remember what platform you told it on, but I remember you telling me the story about having to go in there with the toenail clippers, possibly, yes, to trim, yes, off the cable. And I thought to myself, oh, I hope that doesn't happen to Maddie. Wouldn't you know it, like the next week, she's like, yeah, I think there's a cable loose in the back. I'm like, nope. So we were in touch, same thing, in touch with the team there. And they're like, well, if it's not causing her any discomfort, then just pay attention to it. Like, you don't have to do anything. And we were lucky. It never got to the same space that yours obviously did, where, you know, it's more like you said, RoboCop without the benefits. But yeah, in this exact same space. But we were lucky that when they finally were, because we were so far back in the queue, when they finally did open up, she's been back in and had stuff fixed up. So that day was kind of funny, because I had to take both kids with me. And that was a day where they're sitting in the back of the car, and I could hear from back, one of the kids said, I don't know which one. They're like, I don't remember the last time I was in the car. And the one's like, yeah, I don't remember either. Like, it had been that far back. So,
you know, what's funny.
No, I was going to say, I hear you. I totally, your story, I totally get it.
we did record. So we did boil the toenail clippers, and we had him down. I was like on his midsection with my phone recording, because Sarah's like, record the whole thing. And he's squirming, and she's got one hand like on his head so that he doesn't move, and the other one says like, open your mouth. And then we tried, but it wasn't working. And then because it wasn't bothering him, we were like, okay, let's just leave it. But it was like trying to catch like a muddy pig in a pen. And to do all that stuff, right? Like, it was interesting. And I don't know what I did with the video. I suspect it's somewhere on my phone or something. But we were shaking our heads. Like, my wife and I are like, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Like, we've been promoted to orthodontist, and we don't even know what we're doing.
I think there's a whole slew of sort of parent videos that are out there about, I mean, yours is like the extreme version of the COVID haircut, right? And just, I don't know how many of them were. I mean, I think, you know, I no longer laugh, I guess, because it seems like an accidental video, because things that are made to look accidental are sometimes staged, right? But it's the sentiment of it, you know, someone trying to get their bang straight. They go snip, and they're like, okay. And then they sort of go like this, and you see their whole bang is like at a 45 degree angle. Mm-hmm. I think there's a whole slew of parents now, probably just people in general, that have skill sets that they never, ever thought that they would be going to YouTube to learn about.
100%. Everything. Like everything. I had friends telling me like their dishwasher broke, but they didn't want to have somebody in their house. Mm-hmm. So they were going to figure out how to do it. Now, if my dishwasher broke, somebody would be in my house. I tell my wife, this guy's coming over at this time. Take the kids and go for a ride. I'll put my mask on and stand in a corner and let this man do his work, or woman. Yeah. Because I'm not messing around with the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Like, someone's going to come and fix it. If they're willing to come in the house to do the work, I'm willing to stay away from them and then wipe anything they touch. Like, there's some things for me that the pandemic just doesn't. I don't know if this is true for you. There are some things during this pandemic that just is, if I have a major emergency in my house, I don't care what's happening outside of my world. Someone's coming in to deal with it. Like, that's where I put my foot down. Right. And it's like, you just realize you need certain things or something needs to happen. So you just go do it. And you like, it's like, I'll bring my mask. I'll stay 2 meters away from whoever, but this has to be done. It's almost like, because we've not been flippant with this whole thing, that when it hits the fan, then we're like, okay, this is stupid. Get the mask on and go get done what you need to get done.
Yeah.
But I feel like there have been people living like that the whole time, the whole 3.5 months. People are walking around pretending like their whole life's an emergency. It's like, no, it's not. But they're acting like it is. But in some situations, I would be like, yeah, no, thanks. I'm out of here. I got to go and get this done. And trust me, I'm not making light of this COVID thing, but it's like, some things are worth the risk if you have to take the risk, right? So that's just my opinion, my perspective on it.
It also helps when a professional says, yeah, you can do this. So your orthodontist telling you to go into your kid's mouth. It's not like you're getting the dishwasher repairman saying, yeah, don't worry, I'll talk you through it. Like, the dishwasher person's like, no, I'll come up and do it. I love the orthodontist is like, no, here's how you can do it. That's awesome.
Okay, buddy. So I think this is it for season 3, episode 37. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting one. We talked about the school year being over, meeting up with you, our professional plans for the summer, my son starting high school. Mm-hmm. I think I have the title for this episode.
Tell me.
The orthodontist says it's okay.
That's good. Yeah. Orthodontist says it's okay.
Now just imagine what kind of poster I can make now that we've got an orthodontist in the mix. Oh, I see sept at the top, but what are the letters in with the B-E-M-E-P? You'll have to tell me.
September.
Yeah. Oh, it's the second part of September's going down, the bloodiness of it's heading down into the water. I get it now. Wow. That's cool. That's cool.
Fun with crayons.
Oh, you did it with crayons today?
Yeah, just fine marker and the outline, but then the coloring is just, it's kind of difficult to get color right on brown paper. I haven't quite figured it out, so.
I like the teeth. Did you use a silver marker?
I did, good call. I do, I have a silver paint marker. They're pretty cool. It's one of these, it's a Sharpie,
mm-hmm.
and it's a oil paint marker.
So that's cool.
It pops on anything. You put it right on top of anything and you can see it, including my hands and some of my desk, so.
Hey, I have a question.
Do you
miss the basement?
It's funny, eh? That's on my list for today to go down there and deal. So,
Is Clank just down there by himself?
Yeah. So Clank is now. I reached out to a couple different people that do like re-imaging of laptops. So I'm trying to. So first step of me doing anything with Clank that's sort of permanent, I'm going to have to rename it because there's nothing left of Clank, was figuring out how to get all my photos off of the iPhotos and onto a hard drive. So I'm up to date there. Like my phone right now, I've got nothing on there. I've turned off iStream, so nothing kind of flips back and forth, kind of figured out the mechanics of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, the only thing that Clank can seem to do right now is take my photos from my phone and then I transfer them immediately to a separate hard drive. So this is what Clank is like. That's all Clank's doing these days. So yes, Clank's just been sitting down there in the dark for the most part. And I have all the stuff that I brought home, all the bag of work.
Oh, you brought a bag of work home?
No, but it's the bag of stuff, right? Because remember, I'm leaving.
Oh, that's right. You're moving.
Yeah. So all the stuff that I moved out is sitting in, the colored grocery crates that you can get from Loblaws,
mm-hmm.
those hard plastic crates. So we have 7 or 8 of those here at home. They were great because I just went into the classrooms, grabbed a dolly when I was cleaning up, grabbed all my books, all my resources, and put them in the bins. And they've been sitting in the basement for about a week now. So that's on my list today to get through.
Well, good luck. Let me know about your computer because we have a laptop, and it's not new. It's several years old. But the other day, I pulled it out and I basically reset the whole thing. Like I told it to wipe itself and reinstall Windows,
mm-hmm.
but it's still kind of slow, which really upsets me because it's slow, but there's nothing on it anymore.
Yeah.
And I literally went in and got rid of some of the software that was on it when we bought it. So I'm kind of bothered. I'm like, it's a machine. Maybe it just goes to the fact that hardware eventually just is not good enough to deal with what's happening these days. But
yeah, I think that's totally it. So the
I have an email.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause it's digital garbage, right? Digital landfill. That's what I learned. I mean, I love following Andrew Dobby on Twitter because the dude is such a, like, he's deep in there and making sure, like, let's not, if all we need is something the equivalent of a Chromebook and we have X number of laptops that you're just going to dispose of, let's reimage them all. So that's the path I'm going to go. I reimaged I went to one of his sessions way back in the day, an ed tech session or an ed camp session, and knew at the time how to re-image so well. So after a session that I actually re-imaged an old Dell laptop, and that's one of the ones that the kids use, and it works fine. Absolutely fine. It prints, it connects with the Wi-Fi, the camera works, like everything that is part of the hardware works just fine. So I think I'm kind of creeping up, and it's not a very powerful laptop. It's yeah, but it works just fine. So next step will be, can I do something like that to the MacBook? So.
See, I was hoping with mine, once I wiped it, I was hoping I could get some video editing software on there and I can just totally use that laptop for that. And the answer is a big no.
I don't even think you'd be able to.
I got software on there and I basically forced it on, and it just can't handle it. Can't handle it. And it's just really disappointing to me, because when we bought the laptop, it was decent.
Yeah.
And it's now, it's like, just can't, we can surf the net. And even then it's like, it's weak compared to what I want.
Yeah.
It's so upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I get it, dude. I totally get it. I would be doing this just to, I mean,
my hope would be, and I could be way off on this, but my hope would be is that the, that my MacBook has a strong enough kind of processor in it that it could handle something like, like Ubuntu, like one of those sort of images on it. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, there's no assurance there. I'm hopeful, but I'm not really.
Gotcha. No, I get it. So, okay, buddy. Well, thanks for a great conversation.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. Great connecting with you. And I'll reach out as soon as I know what I can commit to for next week. Okay.
Right on. Okay.
Cool, man. Peace. Chat you soon.